my future wager at 50 to 1.
You do.
I got another 25 to win. Woo!
Mystic Journey over the top, taking the lead. She is entering the made-up.
If I don't get the first leg, Warren, I just walk home. I'm just straight out the door. I'm gone.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Two Units podcast. It is an all-star mile weekend, which means we've got an all-star show lined up, and we'll be previewing that card at Caulfield, along with a cracking card at Rose Hill Gardens, headlined, of course, by the Group 1 Coolmore Classic for the fillies and the mares. My name is Nick Foote. I'm in the Sultan's lair, and he is going to help us dissect those cards, and I welcome him in. G'day, Salts.
G'day, mate. Good to be here. Big weekend of racing, of course, as is always the case across the Orton. And I tell you what, there's a bit of juice in the pudding at Rose Hill gone very wide. So a few speculators. You remember playing FIFA back in the day? Speculative.
Oh, I was playing FIFA back in the day. I still play FIFA.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, absolute loser alert.
This fresh, delicious, tasty, meaty, turkey-filled, cold-cut combo. I eat three every day to help keep me strong.
We always used to thought it was speckled the diff.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Good times.
It was, what's his name? Jeez, Martin Tyler.
Yeah, geez, I've gotten some Barneys with my mates.
It is.
I kicked my mate Tobes so hard in the leg once.
It's a frustrating.
Made him spill his whiskey.
It's a frustrating game. I play online a bit of Ultimate Team stuff. I play against a few mates, but usually I'm just Ponen noobs, which are probably, these guys are probably 12 years old. And if I get beaten in the 90th and you've been all over them all game and they give you the stat now, it's like expected goals. So, you know, at the end of the game,
really?
You can see,
yeah,
I've lost 3-0, but I was 4.8 versus 2.4.
I'd hit the crossbar, yeah, in the fifth minute and just not get over it for the rest of the game. And all I do is slide tackles for the rest of the game.
Yeah, all right. Well, salt and supper, we're not bringing FIFA to Salt and Supper this week.
Nah,
we're not bringing any of those antics.
It's tested some friendships, FIFA.
It has.
I got to the point where we used to play it before we went out, and I stopped playing it because sometimes it would ruin my, like, oh. I had one time where I didn't go out after.
Oh, no.
I lost in extra time when the ref should have blown the whistle, buddy, 5 minutes prior. I just said, well, that's it. That's me done.
That's awful. And a wise man once told me you only regret the nights that you don't go out. So you've done a number on yourself there. Hey, supper, first thing I'm bringing along, and you might know this just, or you might know how much fun our Two Units digital team have putting together the $100 Group 1 pissing contest graphics every single week.
Lucky I'm on our team.
Yeah, I know. He is a little bit of a celebrity, Mitch Beery. He's even said it himself. He's likened himself to Dan Gorringe on Twitter today, which is just, come on, Beery.
So is he talking that it's a positive?
He's completely airborne, Beery. I don't know. He says he reckons he's funny like Dan Gorringe. It's the Didn't Happen of the Year award. I reckon someone said that to him. Go check it out. But we need to put our arm around him because he messaged me being like, you've just organized this entire pissing contest. You just put up a bad photo of me every week, haven't you? So he cut up rough about the photos being used by the Two Units digital team in the pissing contest photos. Now, if you go to Google Images and type in Mitch Beer, listeners out there, Unit Army, do yourself a favor. It's a horrors hall of fame. I've never seen anything quite like it. So, Beery, I'm sorry. I want to bring you to the supper to apologize, but it's just going to keep happening.
Well, you're not by yourself because the team at Sky got it in for him as well. They use a new photo every Saturday, and it's just getting more just piss poor by the week. They've got an infrared sky more than you.
True. We might start using Beery doppelgangers as his photo now in there.
Yeah, not bad. It's a good call.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Hey, I was working Tuesday racing from Warrnambool, and what caught my eye or my ear post-race was a little comment from old mate Dino Yendall.
Half length to three quarters on me. I think it might be a bridesmaid, that horse that runs second. So, look, obviously this bloke only had a couple of starts. Obviously he wasn't quite fit there at Hamilton when he ran when the Cuz rode him. So put the Yendall factor back on, or on it anyway, with these colours, and show him how it's done, eh?
The Yendall factor, and these silks will be pretty lucky too.
few things to dissect there. Firstly, he called Crafty Boss a bridesmaid. Brad Davidson won't be happy with that.
Oh, yeah.
There'll be a race for Crafty Boss somewhere. I'll tell you what, he had a bloody think about it, Crafty Boss. He got in front and he thought about it. They exist. Another thing is the Endel factor. So Aaron Kuru, the cuz over from New Zealand, of course, is who he's referring to that rode that horse for Simon Wild.
I was trying to work out prior. Who the cuz was. Like,
yeah,
I thought
Aaron
died.
Kuru. And so he's popped the Endel factor on. We're all about third person references here, and particularly when they're pumping your own tyres. So he's got to come to the supper, Dino Yendel. The Yendel factor. He just gets on and gets the job done.
I thought I was at the BP then when I heard him pumping those that hard.
The Yendel and what factor. About Matty Stewart? The big fella.
Did he champ him at the start of that interview? Is that fun? Oh, is
buddy
that
fake or something? News? He likes dabbling in those areas, but he can get away with it, Matty.
Yeah.
He's a knockabout larrikin.
He is a knockabout larrikin. He's very good. Hey, a performance that needs to be brought to the supper is the Tassie Jack Jumpers from the NBL. I'm not a big NBL. I'm not a big basketball fan. I know you aren't either, Salts. But they have been in the competition now, 3 years of existence. And last night they just knocked off the Perth Wildcats in their own backyard, defended the island, and they go into their second grand final in three years.
So that was a final last
Yeah,
night.
That was the yeah. That was
have
to
they
go
won
through
any of the grand finals?
No, they haven't. So lost their first against, you know, I think it was against United.
Yeah.
Now they're back against Melbourne. Well, they're against Melbourne United.
I think they're red hot United, aren't they?
Yeah.
I heard that. Felix told me their roster is pretty good.
I honestly couldn't care less about the sport, but I love defending my island and I love Tassie. And I know we've got some NBL listeners out there that Felix went off.
Well, you can't be measuring up to the Melbourne Storm, though. They won a flag in their second year, the Melbourne Storm. And what about that tip I gave you against the Panthers last
Mate,
week?
Can you keep this going? This
22 is... in a row. People that think it doesn't exist, well, they've given us the reigning premiers in round one without Munster and Solomona, one of the highest impact forwards in the competition. We've shut them out. We shut out the Panthers, kept them in nil. That was the best bet of the weekend. Storm round one, best bet of the weekend for the next 100 years, or as long as Craig Bellamy's alive.
Yeah, and it was the Sydney Kings that they lost to, Tassie Jack Jumpers, in the first finals. I cocked that up.
I thought I didn't want to correct you. I didn't want to
make
you look bad.
Correct me, because everyone will be sitting in their car going, it was the Sydney Kings.
Yeah.
Chill out, guys, all right? Chill out.
That goal regulation size or what?
Oh, you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
I seen those finger paintings you bring home and they suck!
I'll come!
I cooked it. I cooked one yesterday.
You had a shocker.
I cooked one and sometimes you just got to wear it. It's worse if you delete it. You've just got to own it.
Well, when you delete things, people still see it and it just says this tweet's been deleted. Yeah. It looks far worse.
Yeah, correct. I'm all for once it's out there. It's out there. Mm, unless
digital footprint.
Unless you're highly offensive towards some form of minority. Yeah. You just gotta stick to it because and that's what I did yesterday, tweeting about Bold Bastille being complete and utter juice at $1.95.
Mm.
Which I still believe she's utter juice at $1.65. But there was a runner who I'm gonna say it took up 9 minutes of my life to craft this tweet, put in some pretty reasonable punting form analysis around Amina versus Bold Bastille in this week's Redoute's Choice Stakes. Great analysis, but check the dual acceptors, bro.
Or at least look at the racing that's happening in this state on that day within the next 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's the other thing. That's the other bit.
Well, the funny, because I messaged you. I saw the tweet.
We spoke on the phone.
Yeah, that's right. I saw the tweet. Like an hour later, I said, mate, you got a shocker on Twitter. And then I checked the time of the race and the time of our phone call. We'd had a phone call 6 minutes after Amina jumped and I hadn't seen your tweet. And you said, like, what's going on? I said, I'm looking forward to seeing Amina run here.
Oh, no, you said, I'm looking forward to seeing this smart one run at Caulfield.
Or favourite or whatever.
And I was walking to the supermarket. And I was like, I don't even care. I thought you just nodded and agreed.
Yeah.
She was
very impressive. So you probably, if you want to back Bold Bastille, you're probably lucky they scratched her.
Yeah,
for that one.
Please.
She looks like a bloody good horse.
Yeah, she would have had a bit more to chase down there. Well, I was having a day. It hurt me because I was having a rare Wednesday, just completely off.
You just wanted to assess the pattern. At the Heath.
I'm switching my mind just off punt
well,
on
Caulfield,
Wednesday.
Heath,
so, yeah, well, yeah. According to Golden Paddy's tweet, it did. So that was all I said.
I kept reading that tweet from him and I was waiting for the punchline, but it was just all positive.
Yeah, I know. I'd
never seen anything like it.
It was all positive, and it was a balanced analysis, and I thought, someone's hacked him. Anyway, good on you. Shout out, Golden. What else you got?
What it says about me, that Bold Bastille tweet, is you've got to take a step back and look at your balance in life. And the way I've assessed it, mate, is you're just currently not in the position to be able to be employed by two places at once. You're either a horse racing analyst looking at it full time, or you're an umpire, mate. You can't do the two.
Pick a lane,
mate. You can't do the two. Pick a lane. You're not prepared to do the two.
I was always going to be in the garden last week after missing a free, wasn't I?
I tell you what.
I was like, come on, man.
Well, when you are.
How's the integrity of that? Sitting there just waiting for me to make a mistake.
Just sweating on a mistake. There was that many over the weekend. But
tune in tonight because I'm going to make more. Yeah, like, it's as simple as that. Living in a world where both of your jobs, you're judged on by the mistakes you make. It's a tough life. But I've got the skin to just click it off.
You've got to have thick skin. I did see that tweet and I thought, well, lucky there's no, has this form analyst made a bad decision, mate? Because I tell you what, you would have been copping it.
The guy's a complete loser. What do you got for us? Get out of your mum's basement.
Oh, mate. Well, we've just got hot off the press here that Storm Boy is going to be partnered by Ryan Moore in the Golden Slipper. And I tell you what, James McDonald, after he won on Switzerland, who had all the favours last Saturday, he got off and he played some ducks and drakes, smokes and shadows behind the screen windows. And he said that Switzerland was better than Storm Boy. Yeah. I'm not even sure. He certainly didn't believe that. But Ryan wasn't taking any of that bait. But I just want to pack the nags of the whole situation because Hippo could have at least got one more ride on him. They shelved Hippo for J-Mac, but you could have just kept him on and had a nice lead up in the Todman, but or not the Todman or whatever Storm Boy ran in, but he got shafted, Hippo.
I thought J-Mac was a little bit sooky in that interview too. He was sort of like, oh, when Ryan Moore barks, they listen. And it's like, come on, mate. He knew it was over, right? Yeah. He knew the writing was on the wall. Shinzo, he knew that it was taken. So saying that, J-Mac, geez, Storm Boy, how far?
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. Give them a pacing.
Yeah, what if Ryan Moore just butchers it, though? It'd be horrific, wouldn't it, if he just goes. I don't even know if he can go too fast on Storm Boy, in fact.
Nah. Storm Rocket.
When they're galloping to the gates, there's only one place to bet. Top Sport, the home of horse racing. Whether you're a sprinter or a stayer or just a fashion-conscious player, go the distance with bigger bet limits and top odds on every race, every time. Download the app for a faster, easier betting experience. Top Sport. Feel the excitement. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
I'm feeling it, Salts. Fashion-conscious player sitting over here. I'm feeling it. I've looked through the run sheet.
I like the cap.
Sydney 2000. Yeah, great. Great Olympics.
What a time to be alive.
Oh, seriously. When make the Olympics great again, I say.
Yeah, totally.
I think they're trying to, actually. Yeah. With the
Paris this year.
Yeah. Caulfield. Yep. Rose Hill Gardens. Well, obviously, we always assess Victoria first. All-Star Mile
Day. Smash and grab Morphettville as well.
Smash and grabs galore Morphettville. You know what we're going to do today on this show? We're not going to talk about depths of All-Star Mile, the race. We're going to assess it from a punting perspective, but we're just not going to buy into what everyone's been buying into for 3 or 4 weeks surrounding this race. We'll assess it as betting. We're going to include it in the play because we always do. It's a big prize money race. We always include it in the pissing contest. And outside of that, that's all we're going to leave it at. So what's the track doing?
Well, that's not because I'm not scared to speak up or anything. It's just,
I just made the call.
Sometimes you hear things so much, you're just like, well,
I'm over it.
Yeah.
I just want to find winners.
Grow up and have a bet.
Let's just find winners.
Yeah, no shit. what is disappointing, though, is the rail being at 6 metres at Caulfield.
It's bugbear.
Because I voiced my disappointment that it was out 4 metres for Blue Diamond Day, and they spoke of where from the true to four. There were southerlies on Blue Diamond Day, but they weren't really strong, and the lanes were uneven. So the last two big days, Blue Diamond and Oakley Plate Days, Caulfield's flagship day of the autumn, and the rail's out. And now All-Star Mile is built up to be one of the big marquee races from Racing Victoria, at least rightly or wrongly, for the autumn, and we've got a 6 metre rail. Mm-hmm. Well, it was out four last time. How much bad? The weather's been dry as a bone.
Mm-hmm.
How bad can it be chopped up on the inside? Yeah, wherever the All-Star mile goes, in my opinion, for Caulfield, Flemington, Moonee Valley, the rail should be true.
Oh, I'm in full agreement. Spoke about this in depth with on the verdict when I was on a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
When you have your flagship days, how you're not sitting down, and things can change, I get it, but how you don't sit down with your calendar and work backwards.
Build around
it. It feels like it's working forwards and it's sort of rails on the run, almost. Rail positions on the run.
Nah, good call.
It's, yeah, I don't understand.
Yeah,
so
I'm not entirely, it might play close to the speed, and there are light, very light southerlies, but they're still southerlies. So the shoot start, perhaps not being far off them from the shoot start, is also going to be somewhat of an advantage at Caulfield on the weekend too.
Let's kick off in race two, Salts. It's the Vobis Gold Reef, and it's for three-year-old set weights penalties, 1,600 metres. Strange market when I first assessed this one, because you had sort of likes of Fists of Fury for the Hawks team, Ambassadorial, Waterhouse Bot, and then Sox Nation for Kieran Maher. You had them all at around 280, 290, and the rest of the field just given none in the market. How are you assessing it? Because you're pretty keen on one here.
Yeah, I'm with Tyson Fury, Fists of Fury, David Streetlaw, Fists of Fury, the toppy here, number one. And, well, he should be favourite, and that market has corrected itself for him to be favourite because he was a big improver. He was no good first up in Sydney, but this is a horse that's got a level of ability that's above average. And in 84 grade against the older horses at Flemington last start, he was beaten by Another Will. Well, Another Will, no matter what Group 1 handicap he was entered in at the moment, like moving forward, he'd be hard in the market. This is a Group 1 horse. He is an absolute gun. So being beaten four by him's no knock to drop back to your own age.
Stable said winning his way through to the Doncaster.
Yeah, you drop back to your own age at set weights and penalties.
Mm.
And you stalk Ambassadorial from barrier one everywhere it goes. He improved second up at Pakenham, but that was also on the Future Stars final night where it was a difficult night to make ground. He was up on the fence, got every favour in terms of the tempo. And you referred to Sox Nation. Had every chance to back against Acid Wash at the Valley. Got all the tempo favours. Acid Wash was the runner of the race. And then, yes, he bumped into Immediacy last start, who's on his way to Group 1s up in Sydney. Serious racehorse. But it didn't rate. So I just think he stalks Ambassadorial everywhere he goes, Fists of Fury, and he's one of the better bets on the program and across Australia on Saturday.
Yeah, I'll be following you in on that, Salts, based off that. I assessed the race too. I made Sox Nation my lay of the weekend. Just opening up $2.80 with the other two.
Yep.
I've got them ahead. So that's where we're at in race number two. Hey, let's attack race three now. Benchmark 70, 1,200 metres. Very interesting runner here for the Moroney stable in White Bear.
Yeah, geez, he resumed a new horse. He'd shown some okay form in some okay races in his first preparation, but he went up to Wodonga or Wang?
Benalla.
Oh, Benalla, was it? Yeah. That part of the world. And he just completely ran the hands off the clock. So he stepped really sharply as well. So wide draw shoot start today. Expect Geordie Childs, who retains the ride from last start. That was his first sit. He'll be positive again. And if he's three wide, whatever, there's one bend. But he had no right to skip away in the fashion that he did fresh because he ran really fast time for the class, and a lot of it was first 600 metres, but it was whilst he was getting eyeballed by one to his outside who was the first horse beaten, and then he won running away in fast time. So, if he holds that form, or very likely goes to the next level, they won't beat him, and he's a terrific bet, White Bear.
Confident start, race two, race three, Sultan. Yep. Like it. So race two, number one, Fists of Fury. Race three, number nine, White Bear, who's around $2.80 on Top Sport. This could be a really nice start for
early,
the unit.
Early in the day is on Saturdays lately, for whatever reason.
Hedge, baby, triple threat, baby.
Yeah, they've been heating up.
Mm-hmm. Like
triple
it.
Triple threat, best bet.
Yeah, well, it was a time there in the spring where it was death's taxes and the units in the first. We're just bringing back so early in the card form. Race number four is the Vobis Gold Comet. Who's sitting in the room making up these race names?
Well, it's 1,000 metres. It's going to go like a comet.
What's the reef? get coral poisoning or something.
It's just
get
the cut reef,
on,
mate.
Cut on some coral. Like, I don't understand.
Just what reef. Are
they? What's a reef?
The reef, man.
Well, this is the comet. It's a handicap over a
reef
thousand.
Reef for a good band. Place your... Oh, press your
hands. Oh, yeah, that is... Yeah.
They trashed the set on Saturday night. Hey, hey, it's Saturday.
Did
and
Darryl
Summers got his knickers in a knot.
Really?
Yeah.
Dickie knee would have king it, one of them.
Yeah, Dickie knee, you didn't want to pluck
a duck.
Pluck a duck, but he put his fist up one of their asses.
Nah. The comet, handicap, 1,000 meter handicap conditions. Hawks team again.
Yeah, Similion. Just gets a nice stalk on them. I thought he was over the odds. He hasn't won in a little while, but 1,000 meters. There's good speed here. Jigsaw goes forward, number of others press forward. He only had one quiet jump out at Flemington, but it was good. And at these weights, his figures from last preparation measure up. So when they're going up around $10 in an even race, you can just have a little nibble on him and hope that he gets the right run.
I'll have a little nibble. Well, hopefully they're biting in race four for Saltz as well with his little nibble on number five, Similion.
Let's get you into the action.
Yeah.
We've both got a bet in the seventh. We'll kick off with the one that you like coming through a run at Flemington. First up, it's the Mystic Journey. It's a fillies and mares set weights and penalties affair over 1,200 metres. Probably my favourite racehorse of all time, this race named in her honour, the Mystic Journey. And you like a filly for the Moody Camp.
Of course, the inaugural winner of the All-Star Mile. So fitting that there's a race named in her honour.
And, well, every time you listen to our theme song, that's it, over the top.
What dreams are made of. Yeah. Yes, dreams, well... It's not really what dreams are made of, but $5.50 around Waltz on by in this race. Beautiful first up run. Stable are just starting to get warm as well, Moody Coleman. They had a little bit of a lean patch there, but I like the way she finished off behind the informed Sans Doot over 1,100 at Flemington. She really got into her work late, ran 7.7 lengths inside benchmark over the final 600. Her winning form's been at 13 to 1,400. However, that's as sharp as she's returned if you look back through a previous preparation. So distance here, 1,200 metres, no issue. As you made a point previously with White Bear, barrier 10, no issue for Waltz on by. Mark Zara will blend into the race from wide position. And, I think be eating up the ground late, 5.50, I like Waltz on by.
Hearing Stable are pretty keen on her chances, come through the run nicely.
Catherine Coleman said she's a very quirky operator, so she can't declare her by any stretch, but improvement should see her winning.
I'm having a nibble on a first upper here in Sione. Have a look at her overall record.
Yeah, it's
that's the overall record of a very good horse, and she strung a number together. She's a 1,400 metre specialist, but she did win at 1,200 metres last prep at Mornington and produced monster closing fractions. So she got a turn of foot, had a number of quiet trials and jump outs where she's moving nicely, and for me, I know there'll be bigger targets ahead. She'll probably go over to Adelaide. She's far more effective over 1,400 metres. But when you've got a really talented horse that's moving stylishly at the jump outs, that has competitive figures and a turn of foot and they go up $10, I just have to take some of it. The three Sione.
What did you make of Peace Treaty's preparation?
Really interesting, because had accepted in a race for a couple of weeks ago and scratch race day morning after a quiet jump out at Balnarring, which was really nice. Then they send her to Flemington sort of 4 weeks almost after her first jump out. They send her to the front and no horse broke 48 for the morning. And she was low 47s. It was fast. It was a proper hit out. So they'll be sending her forward and she'll be hard to catch. But I couldn't price her that short. That jump out and potential upside, and Jamie Carr's just been factored in, and they're not completely factoring form around her and ratings, and she'd need a rate to a new level to win. And when that happens, you don't back them as favorite. When something needs to rate to a new level to win the race, that's when you can take a price about them, because the market has priced them on what they've done, not what you think they could do. But the market has priced her on what it thinks she could do, not what she's done.
That makes sense. I actually thought it was, and I don't know if I'm reading too much into this trial as well, was un-Friedman-like in many respects to have such a strong hit out like that Peace Treaty. Is that like of, you know, and the fact that in for a lot of races and out. Is that
quite a good observation.
I've done something wrong in my prep and we're making up for lost time. That was what, because Peace Treaty's one of mine and I wanted to find Peace Treaty, but I'm like, are they chasing fitness?
It's not a bad point that you bring up. So we'll see in the seventh. But you know, she's up in class here. Gets in light, but yeah. Look, I had her in my numbers, but I was happy to bet around.
Yep. Race 8 feature of the day, the All-Star Mile, weight for age, 1,600 metres. Well, good speed, Engage Salts. Interesting is Mr. Brightside's price, the barrier draw, drawing out, good speed, Pride of Jenny, attractable Buff River. Fastly run races are good races, aren't they? And that's what we like to see.
Yeah, at least it's going to be a genuine run race. And it's often happened in the past with All-Star Miles that some of the late wild cards under that voting system were never, ever going to win the race, but they were going to go forward and inject tempo into the race. I think it was 1 year. It might have been the inaugural year. Hawkshot, like late brought into the race, went forward, ran along. They like tempo in these races. And that's what we loved about the CF4 first up that Mr. Brightside won. It wasn't a dash home like some of the first up races can be. It was a bloody test. And this is going to be a test. Attractable, a late call up. Absolutely. Buckley's chance of winning the race. But from barrier two is a fly in the ointment to something like Pride of Jenny, because it at least can kick up and make Declan Bates work even harder to find the front. Puntura over from New Zealand has some speed. When Desert Lightning beat Legato, it was going to the front and running along. Buffalo River, of course, well, he has now in his older age developed a habit of being half slow away and then mustering. So he's not finding the front, but what he's doing is likely getting caught wide or at least injecting some tempo in after a slow beginning going forward. So there's a few that get nice runs in behind. Ayrton, Holy Man's, you know, Ayrton should have won the Blamey, but, you know, a fast run, 1,600 metres, a big query for him. But, yeah, that barrier draw, he played it down, Ben Hayes, but he did say he would have preferred barrier six. He's got a terrific ability, Craig Williams, on Mr. Brightside to just get him in the right position.
Mr. Brightside make his own luck in many respects as well with that. Like,
we spoke about that in the past. A couple of preps ago, he was getting too far back.
Too far back, yeah.
But like is the case with a lot of good horses, once they sorted that out and started putting himself into races, they go to the next level.
And with that speed drawn inside, I think there's going to be some positions open up from that 1,600 metre start.
I reckon so. I reckon he'll jump. And the 1,600 metre start's not an easy start point. It's not long until you join the course proper, where the 1,400 metre chute joins the course proper and you're working up that hill. So it's either back or forward. But I could sort of envision him four pairs back, one off.
Yeah, I reckon he's still a better $1.75. I feel like the wide barrier has given us 15 cents or so in the price as well. Like, it was sort of going, oh, I might have to entertain back and Brightside around $55, $60. And now we're getting $1.70, $1.75 now. And what he's shown is, long as he gets into a rhythm, he doesn't mind racing wide. We saw in the Memsey, where he raced wide throughout. I know that's 1,400 metres, but this track, fought off Alligator Blood and I Wish I Win, pouncing late.
And that was a fast speed too.
And that was a fast speed.
He's a sicko.
And he's an absolute sicko. Yeah. And he sat there and said, no dramas. And we're talking about Alligator Blood and an I Wish I Win who was covered up and launching late. That is far better than anything here. $1.75, yes, please. I'm betting him.
He's got the most dominant ratings profile in the race significantly. And
consistently, too.
Consistently. So Pride of Jenny has a figure that could beat him on his day when she beat him in the Champions Mile. But, you know, she was also on a week back up. She had the wind at her back.
Conditions to suit, yep.
Yeah, they were back in trip. So, and he still tried his guts out and ran past all of them bar her.
She might have a little bit more company on Saturday too, I would have thought.
Yeah, so. I dare say. Look, I found it hard to tip against him, but I just don't want to back him.
$100 pissing contest?
Yeah, he's on top for you?
Yeah. I'm betting him. Yeah, so $100 pissing contest.
Yeah, beautiful.
We'll streak further ahead of old Gorringe beers. Race 10, mate. The Bellaspree Stakes listed. Handicap, 1,200 metres. Your old DM pal, Ray Magnerio, just lobs here as a $3.30 favourite. Keeps missing runs or keeps getting pulled out of races. Not sure what that's about. You might be able to shed some light. But you're pretty interested in the Richard Lamming run at Bankmore.
Yeah, he was good in the Oakley Plate, Ray Magnerio, and likely justifies favouritism given that that's a good lead-in. But Bankmore, he's just back sharp at this preparation, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's been trained differently. First up, he tackles the Rubiton at Caulfield over 1,100 metres, made good ground towards the inside on a day where the inside was clearly inferior, particularly from the shoot start. And then 1,200 metres at the Valley last start. Mooney Valley's not his track. The race was won by Indian Pacific, broke a long run of outs, went forward, ran along, and was too tough late. But have a look at Bankmore late. He's flashing fastest closing sectionals of the day. Think if he can blend in off midfield here, the track's playing fair. He'll be letting rip late, and he's sharp enough this preparation to say that he's up to a race like this.
Yep. He's $9.50. So, yeah, pretty good price to find out there in the Bellisprit at Caulfield. Let's turn our attention to Rosehill Gardens. Group 1 Coolmore Classic Day for the fillies and mares. She's some real sort of juice on the card. Last chance to get a look at some of these two-year-olds as well. I'm not sure if they'll press on a few of these for the Golden Slipper or not. The Magic Knight, obviously, for the fillies with Anisa and Fly Fly. The Pago Pago for the boys. Gatsby's Coleman headlines those fields. So a great day of racing in the early part of the card and in the latter part of the card as well. What can we expect from the track?
Yeah, the rail's true, usually fair enough, but there is an ambiguous rainfall forecast.
Of course there is.
Oh, jeez, I thought you were something that... Your reaction, I thought something had gone completely bad, but it's 1 to 8 mil like across Friday and Saturday. So, you know, how much of that hits obviously has an impact, but I'm getting involved in the day, but I'm looking real wide across the program.
Well, let's look wide in race 4. It's the Pago Pago Stakes, group 3 for the two-year-olds. It's for the boys, 1,200 metres. Who do you like?
Well, it's named after the units, the 8. It's a growing empire here at 2 units HQ.
Yep.
The one that beat him on debut is in the market in the Magic Knight, and he was so green on debut on the Kenzo that he shied so badly at the winning post that the jockey had to jump off, and then he jumped the fence into the crowd. So he was forced to go back to the trials. He's had 2 trials since. He got significantly sweaty in his recent trial at Hawkesbury, but the blinkers went on for the first time there, and he trialled really nicely. They're on first time race day. Kieran Maher, big profitable stable with the blinkers going on. And it's just a big price for, you know, they can take huge leaps from start 1 to 2. And considering he jumped the outside fence on debut, he's clearly still learning. Shades on, big enough price to have a spec.
It's a big price, $31. Saltzman is the great.
The 8 growing empire.
The great. 8 is great. Growing Empire, Tommy Berry, Kieran Maher, $31 top sport there. It's just juice. We promised juice at the top of the show. Hopefully some juice gets squeezed. Race 6.
Where from?
I don't know. I don't know where I'm even going with that. Race 6, group 3, 1,100 metres. The Maurice McCartan Stakes. Who do you like?
Oh, this is named after me. He's a junior footballer, the 10 dashing legend, straight out the guts. And fresh is best for this mare. Her trials have been quiet, which I don't mind for a fresh horse. It's her second preparation with Joe Pride. She's got a lightweight, a nice map. She's got the overall record of a horse that has some quality, and she's never missed the placings from 6 runs at 1,100 metres. 4 of those she's won. So still on the up, you know, close enough to double figure odds sort of around those areas. Another one that you can have a little bit of something on, the 10 in the 6, Dashing Legend.
Yeah, well, Brudenell and Rainville have come out. So now you're copying a little bit of...
Okay, that's only sort of last half hour sort of areas.
Six,
yeah,
$6.50 you're copying. Okay. Yep, it's literally 13 minutes ago they've both come out. So not quite a bold Bastille tweet, but pretty close.
Oh, not even.
Bring him in. I want someone to ride the embarrassment with me. Race number 7. It's the Group 2 Farlap Stakes, set weights 1,500 metres. This is a pack in ags in itself, how Farlap doesn't have a Group 1 named after it.
Oh, yeah, you're not wrong.
This is extraordinary. Like, you could ask anyone about... Like, if you were
the horse that everyone knows in Australia.
It'd be the only racehorse name that my mum knows. Probably this and Maccabi Diva would be Farlap.
Yeah.
And you got a Group 2 over 1,500 named after you.
For three-year-olds.
Pack in ags.
Set weights. The one for Waterhouse and Bot presses forward on on the backup from the Guineas last week, Les Vampires. Les Vampires. But I'm backing one that needs to go to a new level to win in the six Kintyre, but he really does set up to run a new peak. So he's a winner in the past at second up. He only had one trial prior to his fresh run against older horses where he's ridden really quietly, got into his gears nicely. His last 200-meter split was the third fastest on the entire program. In the past, he's been up on speed. He's actually, when he's been up on speed, been involved in brutally run races, so they're a bit hard to judge him on as well. On the weekend, what he does map for is a lovely stalk just in behind the speed, up to 1,500 metres, double figure odds, have something on him.
Mm-hmm. Kintyre, that is race seven, the Farlap Stakes. You got Kintyre here at $10. What did you make of question without notice? What do you make of Zardozi's chances at around $12? I was pretty keen when I was looking through to find her.
Yeah, second she up. Didn't get the race runner suit first up. And she was back, but, you know, I still would have liked, considering she was back doing no work, I would have liked to see her be a bit stronger through the line.
Mm-hmm. Let's turn our attention to the main event. Race 8, the Group 1 Coolmore Classic. For the fillies and mares, 1,500 metres. Espiona won the race last year, Lighthouse in 2022. And Crone, who was one of mine back in 2021.
Yeah. Take a moment. So this race last year, we were watching at the races at Corowa. Mm. And I'd backed Pride of Jenny at $34. Mm-hmm. And she led absolutely everywhere bar the post and was nailed by Espiona, who had a soft run. And if they rerun the race at the same weights this year, Pride of Jenny would win by 5 lengths.
Mm. I'm familiar with your work, actually. Hurtful. I was familiar with your work after the post as well.
Hurtful. Yeah. Fought back through the post.
That was one of the worst punting days I've had on track.
Yeah,
it was
a shocker. Yeah, you went to the ATM on wheels.
Well, it was because Jet Stanley was doing donuts in the straight.
Yeah, I know. He couldn't ride one straight at Coral, and then he went to town and started riding winners out of his arse.
I know. Extraordinary. It's extraordinary what you do when your master turns from Mitch Beer to Annabelle Neesham.
Well, I'm backing a couple of roughies here. I know you're keen to have a bet too. I'm backing the 14 and the 15, More Secrets and Ozbred Flirt. So More Secrets is a second up performer. Very much worth noting, she did not have a trial prior to her first up run over 1,400 metres, mm-hmm. where she did some nice work through the line after being momentarily held up, getting to the outside, the better part of the track. But her second up run last preparation, she only got clear at the 300 and she ripped home in the race fastest splits, clearly, in the angst. She gets in light, the speed's on, she'll be flying late. And Ozbred Flirt was my best bet of the program last up when she was first up and she was heavily backed. But she bounded at the start, hit her head on the barriers and the race was over. And it was really disappointing because she was so well supported, she jumped out so well prior to that. Now she's a big price drawn out wide, but she made good ground from the 8 to the 200 metres in the inferior going and peaked late. And last preparation in a red-hot invitation, she was unlucky not to be in the finish. So she can measure up at a big price as well. So I'm with the 14 and the 15, but you're going with a bit of Victorian form.
Let's just look at these prices before we move to me. More Secrets, $27. Ozbred Flirt, $41. Does not mind shopping, this kid. It's a real sort of Gucci.
Have a quinella as well. Okay, sorry, that's a good thing.
Probably pay less some of the strange quinellas I've been seeing.
Not that one, but nah.
Yeah, I'm with Yonce, named after Queen Bee, Beyonce. $14. She's been building towards this race ever since that tendon strain that kept her out for some 18 months. Kirimar said in January, interviewed him on the verdict, that was the target race. That was what they had in mind since she came back and they just wanted to see her improve at each run, which she has. That run in the Carline Stakes, whilst it didn't rate that highly, she was ridden upside down. John Allen didn't want to lead on her and he ended up leading and it was tradesmanlike, really, the way she went about it. But she'll take improvement off that again. She's drawn one here. She's going to get a bloody beautiful run in behind the speed and with even luck will be out and pouncing late. So Yonce, $14, $4.20. I'm having a 1x3 in the group one.
Yeah, cool. We'll sort it. It worked for us last week. Sort out our plays.
I liked it. Yep. Gives us a little bit of time to think because Beery can put his plays in on Friday night with just no, you know, this we've got to make it an even playing field.
But we've got to sort out our staking.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We might want to conditions can change as well in terms of how much we stake. You've got to be a flexible punter, Sultan.
Exactly right. It's a great call from you. Hey, we're off to the Parks track. You've got a hit and run, a double hit and run at the Parks track. I haven't had a look there, but the first of those comes up in the sixth event. It's a benchmark 74 over the 1,000 metres, and you like a little bit of Mickey action.
Mr. Mouse. I do. Number 5, Mouse Almighty, each way play, $21.480. Went around last start in the Durbridge Stakes.
It's not a Durbridge horse.
It's not a Durbridge horse at all. Much classier race than what she finds here. She was disappointing, though, even being outclassed, that the run was below what she can dish up. She got sent back to the trials, had a 1,000-metre trial at Gawler, travelled up beautifully. Second fastest heat of the morning. Is a second-up winner this track and trip last start. Can make sharp improvement going forward. Huge price.
I recall her being a real sort of Gundagai, Queanbeyan sort of Goulburn operator back in the day.
Yeah, real Wagga Wagga setup, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. Mr. Mouse, number 5 in Mr. race Mouse. 6. Then in race 8, it's a 1,000-metre race. It's a restricted benchmark 62. And there's a runner going around here called Storyteller. And through the same trial as Mouse Almighty. So they actually crossed the line together. So a little bit of trial form aligning here by me. But this was a cracking trial in preparation for the first up run. If you look at Storyteller's form last preparation, finished half a length off Sharipa last prep, beat home Bristler in that race as well.
Bristler?
Yeah, split Sharipa and Bristler, and now gets an opportunity to kick off in a restricted benchmark 62 over 1,000 and is $3.20.
Sheesh.
Yeah, and this is a restricted benchmark 72. Like, you've got to take into account, as 62, sorry, you got to take into account this card on the weekend at the Parks because it's post-Adelaide Cup.
Yeah.
They've had their Saturday meeting. They've had their Monday feature. You've got a Parks meeting now. So these can be easy kills for class runners like a Storyteller in this type of race. So that's how I'm attacking Morphettville Parks. Let's hope we get something out of that. Unit. D Raj is back for Top Sport, for Racing Hearts. He had a win last week because it was a triple threat, triple threat, triple threat. It was me, you, D Raj.
It was never any doubt.
On the hedged, yeah. So it was very nice. I was actually in the air when that race was on. So it was a real hide my screen and watch it like it was the first time.
But you got Wi Fi up there?
No, I get down when I touch down. When I get down, yeah. I go into
See the result.
I go into the green app and I cover up the login, get the face ID, and then I turn it sideways.
Yeah, yeah.
And get to watch it like it's live.
Well, I wasn't in the air, but I was airborne.
Yeah, mark that down. This is what D-Raj likes this week, to go back to back.
Hey, units, Dave here for this week's Unit of the Week, thanks to Top Sport. Going to the Magic Night this week at Rose Hill, race 3, number 1, Aniza. I think she's a class above these, and I think she's a very reasonable price at around $250. So give her strength, and hopefully I'll see you again next week.
Short, sharp, to the point, Aniza. Love your work.
I like it.
Love your work, D-Raj.
But also presents the Top Sport plug. Yeah. I like that.
It ticked every single box.
Didn't get into Racing Hearts, though.
Ooh, okay. So
we'll mark that down.
That's a very good out of the on the excellent scale.
Don't mind. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, with the 2 units, rubric was nearly covered.
8 out of 10.
It is.
Yeah.
Solid. 2 units time. Best bets from around Australia. I'm having an all up.
All right. Where are you going?
Race 6.
Darwin?
Nah, Caulfield all up. Race 6, number 2, Bold Bastille into race 8, I'm assuming number 1, Mr. Brightside. So that's where I'm at. And look, head to Twitter, read my.
You're getting $2 for Bold Bastille.
Yeah, not quite, but I'm getting more than it for both of them. Even with this is the only danger going out of the race for Bold Bastille. Now, Amina, this is $1.65. Bold Bastille went up after Amina came out yesterday. And it's not just me being stubborn. That's still a genuine price about this too. This too, I was floated.
She should be winning.
She was floated to be she got into as much as $7 to win the Blue Diamond before that setback. And then she obviously was lame in that first up run. So, yeah, she's back. She's going to bounce off that win last start up the straight. Bold Bastille into Mr. Brightside. Is that the first all up? 2 units?
Yeah, it is.
Good. Top that. What do you got?
I'm at Caulfield Race 3, the 9, White Bear. He just ran such a good time, fresh. He had eyeball pressure. He had every right not to win, but he won by 5. Now, it was obviously a weaker race, but I just love what he did on the clock. Geordie Child stick, start 2, wide draw, shoot start, no issue. He races out of this grade, whereas a number of these stay in it. He's the best on the day across Australia for me. Race 3, number 9 at Caulfield, the White Bear.
The White Bear for the Sultan. Little all-up for me.
That's the Bundy Rum, the White Bear, I reckon.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, I like that.
What's the breeding of White Bear? I reckon there might be something in that. We'll have a look. It could be something to do with that. Hey, just speaking
of... I think it's by Bogan out of Fight Juice.
Yeah. Anyway, I can't be bothered. It's an absolute 440 mil special. I tell you what, I'm in my Alanis Morissette era at the moment.
Yes?
Yeah.
You've been hanging out with David Gailey.
Really? Is he an Alanis Morissette fan?
He sends her love hearts all the time.
Does he?
Yeah.
These ones.
Yeah.
The little double pink heart. You know the double pink heart?
Yeah, with a hand love heart.
That's usually the sign of a real creep. What are you saying about Gator?
He likes Alanis Morissette, and so do you.
Yeah, I do as well, and I'm not a creep.
Well, I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo.
Yeah. I've seen you play that in my lounge room after
it goes off.
It goes off.
I actually hit the bridge too.
Yeah, someone broke my living room light. Well,
she's good though, Alanis.
She's good. She's
down to earth.
I found myself looking up Alanis tour dates, and that's when I know that I've gone too far, and she's not coming out. But hey, I got one hand in my pocket, and I got the other one picking up high fives.
The other one's holding a cigarette, just waiting to celebrate.
Get out of here. Have a good weekend. Units, all the best on the pump. We'll be back next week.